This is QC Veterans Roll Call, a local program designed to support Quad Cities veterans and military, their families, and our community. QC Veterans Roll Call is a production of 97X, WXLP, and Town Square Media. Now, here's your host, Gino Berta.
Welcome back to QC Veterans Roll Call radio show on 97X. I'm your host, Gino Berta, and I am joined in the studio by Miss Natalie Woodhurst, who is the Veterans Coordinator for St. Ambrose University. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gino. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the show. It's a bit of nostalgia for us because our very first guest on QC Veterans Roll Call was your predecessor, Andrew Gates, and we want to welcome you and your family to the area. How are you finding our Quad Cities?
I like it. And actually, I'm not originally from here, but I attended St. Ambrose, so I also knew Andrew in, you know, a reversal of roles, so to speak, as a student. And I just graduated in May, so I kind of stepped right into his role as he was leaving. So I never have left St. Ambrose, like, essentially. So,
well, congratulations on your degree. What did you study at Ambrose?
Well, my major was biology, but I had minors in theology, environmental studies, and classical studies. So,
wow,
kind of all over the place.
You are a Renaissance woman. That's terrific. So what was the attraction to serving as the Veterans Coordinator at St. Ambrose?
As a veteran myself, I was in the Air Force. So was my husband. He was in for a lot longer than myself. But I think having a veteran in that position is very helpful because a lot of veterans don't typically want to identify. And when they do, it's easier to do it to another veteran, someone who kind of understands the lifestyle and understands some of the things they've been through.
I think that's a great point because veterans, as they're coming back to campus, they've had experiences, many very good experiences, but also some very trying, if not traumatic, experiences. And, you know, who's their point of reference? A fellow veteran. Now, when were you in the Air Force?
I was in the Air Force in 2003 to 2005. So.
Okay. So you were right. So you were there when everything kicked off, so to speak.
Yes. Unfortunately, I did not get to deploy. I wish I had, but I was medically retired. So I got out before I had the chance.
Well, but you served. And I'll tell you, I was mobilized at a place called Fort Dick, which is right by McGuire Air Force Base.
My husband trained in Fort Dick.
Oh, there you go.
So I have been there. My dad, too, way back in the day. So.
Yeah. And let me get it straight. It's Joint Base McGuire Dix Lakehurst. We don't want to forget our Navy brethren. But no, I will say that everybody plays a role in the military. And whether, you know, if you're back stateside, if you're CONUS, if you will, you are supporting the effort, you are backing the fight. And, you know, it's the older I get, I recognize people who serve. We run into this all the time, Natalie, with people who say, well, you know, I was in the Air Force or I was in the Army in Germany during the Cold War. And I say to them, look, you were part of that defense of freedom that led to the collapse of communism. So, you know, everybody who serves, we support in the show. And, you know, to that end, with your new service at St. Ambrose, what are you most excited about with your position?
Well, I Andrew made my time at St. Ambrose, he made my transition seamless. So I just hope that I can do as good a job of him. I mean, I know they're big shoes. Everybody loved him. But I just want to fill that role and do everything I can. If being familiar with the GI Bill and with St. Ambrose itself, I think, you know, that kind of helped me with the position, helped me get the position, and will definitely help me throughout to serve the students. And so I think having that knowledge and background really will benefit, you know, my position, just my ability to help them.
I know it will, and I rarely do this, but I will speak for Andrew. I'm sure he would say you're going to do just fine. You're listening to QC Veterans Roll Call radio show on 97X. I'm Gino Berta, your host, joined in the studio with Ms. Natalie Woodhurst, Air Force veteran, the Veterans Coordinator for St. Ambrose University. Natalie, let's talk about this. If somebody is a veteran, or if somebody's in the military and they're thinking about transitioning out, what are some of the first things they should have in mind to take advantage of their GI benefits?
the first thing they need to do is apply.
Okay, good point.
That's, I mean, the simplest step. And you can do all that online through VonApp. It's very simple. Once they've done that, that'll let them know what they're eligible for. And that way they'll have, you don't have to have a specific school in mind, but of course, we'd like you to come to St. Ambrose, but you don't have to have a specific school, like I said, and it'll tell you what percentage you're eligible for, and that way you'll know what amount of your tuition will be covered by the, if we're specifically talking post 9/11 GI Bill.
Right, and that's what we are. For those who are listening, there is a new GI Bill, which is quite generous. You have the ability not only to have tuition paid for, but also living expenses. Yes. And you also have the ability to assign it, to transfer it, if you will, to a dependent. That's what I did with my oldest daughter.
And yes.
So it's something whereby, from an educational standpoint, when if someone who is a veteran and is thinking about, well, I don't really know if I'm ready to go back to college, what kind of discussion would you have with them to help ease their concerns about transitioning from the military to the classroom?
I think, again, speaking from experience is the best tool that I have, having done the same thing. Tell them what it's like on the campus. It's a small campus. It's a great community to be a part of, and helping them to transition and get used to things in that realm, so to speak, is what I'm there for. So.
You're listening to QC Veterans Roll Call Radio Show on 97X. I'm Gene Oberta, your host, joined in studio by Miss Natalie Woodhurst. She is the Veterans Coordinator for St. Ambrose. And Natalie, I want to shift gears in the time we have left, talk about the upcoming Veterans Conference on March 1st. What's going on with that?
That is very exciting. March 1st in the Rogalski Center right on St. Ambrose campus, we're going to have the Eastern Iowa Western Illinois Veterans Conference. And our keynote speaker this time is Brad Snyder. He's EOD. He's former EOD Navy veteran. He lost his sight in an accident in Afghanistan, and he then became a Paralympic athlete. He won 2 gold medals and a silver in London, 3 gold medals and a silver in Rio. So we're very excited to have him come and speak and share his story with us.
That is fantastic. I was at the Veterans Conference a couple of years ago that, again, was hosted at St. Ambrose, and it was a class act, and we thank the whole university for their service. If a veteran wants to attend, what about registration? Is that open? How does a veteran go about participating in the conference?
There's a free registration online. It's free to attend. If you go to eicc.edu/vetsconference, you can register right online. Everything is done through that site. And again, it's free to attend, and we welcome everyone.
That's terrific. We'll have that information on our website. QC Veterans Roll Call Radio Show is proud of the fact that our local community is so pro-veteran, and you know, this is a great example of what St. Ambrose is doing by the fact you have a veterans coordinator there. Natalie, it's been great having you as a guest on QC Veterans Roll Call Radio Show. I'll look forward to seeing you at the conference on March 1st.
Thank you very much. One man, he
You're listening to QC Veterans Roll Call, a show for Quad Cities vets, delivering honest, relevant, and when possible, entertaining information for our military vets and their families on 97X.
Welcome back to QC Veterans Roll Call radio show on 97X. I'm Gino Berta, your host. I'm joined in the studio by a former guest on QC Veterans Roll Call, Miss Rebecca Geiken. She is the Veterans Coordinator at Eastern Iowa Community College. And today, Rebecca has agreed to share her own personal story. And I want to say from the beginning, Rebecca, thank you so much for coming in and talking about your family and your situation. We're truly honored to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Gina.
So from the standpoint of your family, tell us a little bit about your husband and his military service.
Okay. My late husband went in 1984. He was named the turbine surgeon. He was a turbine engine mechanic. And he was deployed to Somalia a short time for Bosnia-Herzegovina and Desert Shield. He was in for 18 and a half years. That's a little bit about him.
And that's an incredible length of service that spans a number of conflicts, some conflicts which quite frankly have kind of fallen into the way of the history books. And your husband was in the Army?
Army. We were both in the Army. Mm-hmm.
Right. You're a veteran as well. And your husband ended up passing away while he was in service.
That is correct. We lived in Germany. It was his third tour of Germany and my second tour. And he was less than a year, actually, from retiring. And he was on his way home from work on his motorcycle. And he was hit by a drunk driver.
Oh, my God.
And killed instantly. Mm-hmm. And we had been married at that time for 15 and a half years. So.
And did you have children at that time?
We did. We had a 12, 7, and 5-year-old. I had two boys and one girl. And it was pretty tough. All I'd known was being in the military, and it was a very tough transition for us. Extremely.
I can only imagine. And it's... To lose, you know, your spouse, your life partner, the father of your children. I don't have a point of reference from that, and we're so honored that you're sharing the story of your husband's passing. What from that? How did the military respond when they were faced with this catastrophe?
Ironically enough, just a little bit of a personal story.
Please.
At the time we were there, he was, we were at Landstuhl, we were stationed in Landstuhl, and his hours were pretty set. So I always knew about what time he would be coming home. And I had taken my daughter, she was in ballet, and my youngest son, we went to her ballet lessons, and my oldest son played soccer for the German team. He learned to play soccer in Germany, so he was quite a soccer player. But he was home, and my late husband called, and he told my son, tell mom I'm going to be a little late, and I'll see you guys when I get home. I love you. Be safe. I'll see you later. And so my son took the call, and he went to practice. I came back from ballet lessons, and my son came home from practice, and he said, Dad said he would be a little late. Well, I went ahead and cooked dinner, and we were all cooking dinner and then started to sit down and eat. And I will never forget looking at the clock at 7:45 on the dot, and I said, something is wrong. I can just feel it. Something's wrong. This was in April 26th.
So it's in Germany, and so, you know, spring comes a little bit later.
Right.
Then, but...
it wasn't too cold, and it wasn't... you know, warm at the same time. So
it was warm enough for those who like to ride and to be out riding.
Right.
Yeah. We've got a lot of listeners who will read that. And I'm, again, I'm so grateful for you, you know, sharing this story mm-hmm. with us. And the reason we want to share is because we celebrate, you know, all our veterans, the ones who are with us, the ones who aren't, and whether they fall in combat or they fall in a tragic accident like this, you know, it's a loss. And if you wouldn't mind, tell us how the military was able, you know, what they do to assist you
right.
in dealing with this tragic loss.
I was leading up to that by, I knew something was wrong. So I called one of the young men in his squad, and he said, he should be home by now. And I said, well, he's not. And so ultimately, long story short, I found out they came and told me. The company commander was the one. The company commander and the first sergeant came to me and told me. And they took me to the hospital, and I'll never forget. He was killed instantly, but I wanted to go. And I'll never forget walking into the hospital with the company commander and the first sergeant and both of their wives, and the entire platoon was standing there in the hospital. From that moment, every single one of them, the platoon, the soldiers, their wives, the company commander, his wife, the first sergeant, his wife, and all of our friends that were still stationed in Germany just gathered around. I'll be honest with you, Gino, it seemed like, I don't know, those first few days, I was in a daze, but I just remember never being alone. They were all standing around me the whole time, holding me up, and working with the kids, talking to the kids.
You're listening to QC Veterans Roll Call Radio Show in 97X. I'm Gino Baird, your host. I'm joined in the studio by Ms. Rebecca Geiken. She is the Eastern Iowa Community College Veterans Coordinator, but today she's telling her story about the tragic passing of her husband, who was killed by a drunk driver in Germany while he was in service to our country. Rebecca, was your husband buried in Germany, or did he come back home?
He did come back home. The company commander asked me. I had a choice. We still had 2.5 years left in Germany, and he said you could stay here with the kids until the end of the enlistment, and you would still be paid the same thing, everything like that. And of course, my mom and dad were there, and they said no immediately. She's going home with us. So we brought him back home. My husband's platoon leader asked if he could accompany me, and so he flew home with me, and we brought him back to North Carolina. He's originally from here, but we loved North Carolina. That's where I'm from, and he loved my family, and he would have wanted, I think, to be buried in Statesville, North Carolina. That was more of a home to him.
And I hear that is a beautiful, beautiful part of the country.
It is. It's the only state that I know of that you can go play 9 holes of golf in the afternoon and go snow skiing at night.
Well, there you go. You're listening to QC Veterans Roll Call Radio Show on 97X. I'm Gino Baird, your host. I'm joined in studio by Ms. Rebecca Geiken. Rebecca is a veteran of the United States Army, and she is the spouse of the late Master Sergeant Waldo Aubrey Geiken, who was tragically killed in Germany by a drunk driver. And we were discussing the memorial service and what a thing of just, you know, to quote the great Irish writer Leon Uris, that terrible beauty. And tell us about that ceremony, if you would, please.
It was a really great ceremony that they put together, and one of the most memorable things for me was seeing a lot of faces that I hadn't seen in a long time. We had some of the soldiers that he was deployed with actually came from the States to come to the ceremony. One particular incident was when one of his privates, his name was Perputnik, and everybody called him Sputnik.
Sputnik.
He was stationed or deployed with my husband in Somalia, first deployment. The kid was fresh out of AIT, and I didn't know some of the things that happened, and I learned on that day what a really great soldier he was. I knew what a good man and I knew what a good father and husband he was, but I didn't know quite how good of a soldier he was or a phenomenal soldier. Sergeant, his name was Sergeant Perputnik at the time that he came to the ceremony, and he shared an instance where they were in Mogadishu, Somalia. There was no structures, everything, they just didn't have the things that they have now that were built up. And they came under mortar fire, and it was, there were no sirens, no warnings or anything. They were all told to go and find cover, get under cover. So he rallied up his troops, let's run under the deuce and halves, let's get underneath these deuce and halves and the connexes. And Sergeant Perputnik at the time, he was private, freaked out a little bit. He wasn't in that kind of a situation. He was just thrown into this situation, and he froze. He said he froze. He said he didn't know what to do, and he thought that was it. He was going to die. And the next thing he said he felt was Sergeant Gaiken and those big hands on the back of his neck just dragging him, saying, let's go, private, move those legs. And pulled him underneath the deuce and a half with him, and he grabbed him by the shoulders and made him look, and he said, look at me, look at me. And when he looked at him, he said, yes, Sergeant. He said, you know what I'd really like to have right now? And Private Perputnik said, no, what, Sergeant? And he said, a really big whopper and a really cold Mountain Dew. And Perputnik, with tears in his eyes, said that was probably the biggest thing, the best thing for him to have ever done, because it wasn't about the Whopper, it wasn't about the Mountain Dew, it was about getting his mind off of what was going on at the time and knowing that he was going to be okay. He was around his brothers, and he said that was a huge thing, and he thoroughly believed that my late husband saved his life that day. And that was a story I was never told.
You're listening to QC Veterans Roll Call Radio Show on 97X. I'm joined in the studio by Miss Rebecca Gaiken, who is sharing the incredibly personal story of the loss of her husband, Master Sergeant Waldo Gaiken, who was killed in Germany. We're talking about the memorial service, and because of the actions of your husband, that soldier lived. And that soldier became a leader in his own right. And I have no doubt that Sergeant Sputnik will, he has shared that story with other soldiers and has made them leaders. And I'm sure that's just one of the many incredible things you're so proud about with your husband. Mm-hmm. The loss of a soldier, the loss of anyone is unbearable. But you were sharing with us during the break that you had that sense of community, you had that sense of I'll say it, family, of the fellow, your fellow military family members. Why was that so important?
Well, you're in a different environment when you live in the military life. You're away from family members, and so the military becomes your family. The wives become your family. We would have play groups. We would have with our children. I remember us wives, we would get together, and one weekend somebody would watch your children so you and your husband could go out, and the next weekend I would watch the kids so there and they could go out on a date. So it was a tremendously huge, tight-knit, close family. During deployments, the company commander's wife especially would always let us know what was going on. We all knew that we could depend on one another, even just, you know, to call and say, hey, I'm running a little low on gas money. Can you help me out? Sure, no problem. And we did that. We watched out for one another in rough times and good times. So
I think that's so important to share that. Yes, there are challenges, but there also can be just a tremendous amount of fun that mm-hmm. goes with being in the military. One of the things that I want to ask you, and I'm going to apologize because I if I was a better interviewer, I could come up with a more articulate way to say this. But if somebody is going to, you know, interact with somebody like yourself, whose family member, whose spouse has been killed while in the line of duty, they're trying to find the right words, they're trying to find something to say, but they just don't know what to do. What's some advice you would give them when they're in that most unfortunate circumstance?
Three words, four words. You are not alone. You're not by yourself. I think that's the hardest part is you're so used to having that family around you and just knowing that you're not alone. You're not by yourself. I don't know how many times people would say, I was sorry for your loss. And that wasn't as half as comforting as having the families, the wives coming up to you and saying, you're not by yourself, Rebecca. We're here. We're here for you. We will help hold you up. We will help your kids. We will help your hold up your kids. You're not alone.
And you're not.
Right.
You're listening to QC Veterans Roll Call Radio Show on 97X. I want to thank my guest, Ms. Rebecca Gaikin, who came in and shared the story of the unfortunate, untimely passing of her husband, Master Sergeant Waldo Gaikin. Rebecca, I thank you. Thank you so much for sharing the story. Thanks for what you're doing. And I know that your husband's looking down on you with love and pride, and you're just doing amazing work at the community college for our veterans. And I'm honored to call you a fellow veteran. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to QC Veterans Roll Call Radio Show on 97X. I'm Gene Oberto, your host. We'll be back.
Veteran to Veteran. Here's Gino Berta with more QC Veterans Roll Call on 97X.
QC Veterans Roll Call radio show on 97X. Welcome back. Gino Berta, your host, and I'm going to do another book review. There is a new governor of the state of Missouri. His name is Eric Greitens. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. This is a pretty amazing guy. He is a boxing champion. He is a Navy SEAL. He's the sitting governor of the state of Missouri. All incredibly impressive achievements. However, he's also someone who spent a good chunk of his life working with the poor, working with refugees, doing it out of the spotlight and helping those who truly needed it. I see a picture on Facebook where he said something to the effect, "I'm honored that I'm getting to train with local law enforcement academy, with law enforcement academy attendees, cadets, if you will." And I was just so impressed with that act of humility. And make no mistake, this wasn't a photo op. This is a guy who doesn't skimp on physical training, on PT, if you will. If anything, he relishes those opportunities. So, as I've joked about on the show before, when you run as slow as me, you don't need music. So I listen to a lot of audiobooks. And I had a credit in my Audible account. I'm still working through The Making of the Atomic Bomb. That's a 30-plus hour book. But I took a pause from that to get Resilience, Hard-Won Wisdom for Living a Better Life. I'll say it again. The name of the book is Resilience, Hard-Won Wisdom for Living a Better Life, written by Eric Greitens, Navy SEAL, Governor of Missouri. It's a fascinating book because what happens is Mr. Greitens gets a phone call from a fellow Navy SEAL, someone he served with, someone he went through the basic underwater demolition school or BUDS training. The only training I can think of that's even remotely as challenging is what the Air Force parajumpers go through. And there's a special brotherhood that those gentlemen have. And the story goes something like this. The one Navy SEAL calls up Eric and says, "I've gotten myself in trouble. Got arrested, got in an altercation with a police officer. He was out of the military and had gone from being a Navy SEAL on top of the world to being an unemployed veteran living on disability facing a felony charge." And what happened was, is there was a series of letters that went back and forth between Greitens and this Navy SEAL. And in it, the subject is resilience. And it is just such a fascinating book because Greitens doesn't say, "Look at how great I am and be as great as me." If anything, he talks about his own failures. He talks about his failed marriage. He talks about the challenges he's experienced in life. And, you know, there's a common thread I've noticed with those who are at the top of the line, the tip of the spear, if you will, in our special forces community. They're all humble. They all live humility. A few weeks back, we had on a couple of Navy SEALs for the Thank the SEALs ride, and the authentic, appreciation these warriors had for our community. Their appreciation of being in the audience as, Billy and Jose and the rest of the guys were talking about the ride. There's something we can all take from that. And what I love about this book, and the reason I'm going to tell you to pick this book up is, you'll get some Stoic philosophy, which we've talked about. Yes, you'll get some great quotes. You'll get some great stories. But you will get the inspiration to say, no matter what's going on in your life, if it's great, you can make it better. If it's terrible, you can bounce back from that. How that success is a mountain that is built on past mistakes. And I totally encourage you to go check this book out. It's available on Audible. I bet you can get it from the Bettendorf Library. I'm probably going to go check it out because I want to have it, or whatever your local library is. This is an opportunity for you to, as my friend Dave Sheffield says, better your best, figure out what matters to you, and not seek not seek achievement or not seek adulation, but become a better person. It's a great book. I strongly encourage you to check it out. Again, it's Resilience by Navy SEAL and the sitting now governor of Missouri, Eric Greitens. Resilience, hard-won wisdom for a better, hard-won wisdom for living a better life. And as always, if you've read something, a book, an article, something you think is worth sharing, please reach out to us on our Facebook page or on our website. We want to hear what you're reading.
Thanks for listening to QC Veterans Roll Call, a weekly program dedicated to Quad Cities veterans. QC Veterans Roll Call is a production of 97X, WXLP, and Town Square Media.